after source Chamisha Asabav, the Mishnah, the end of the Sefer Titus, the last Mishnah. It says, Amr Shimon Gamliel, Hoyo Yom Tevin Yisrael, Chamisha Asabav, Kiyama Kippurim. They weren't Yom Tevin, they were so joyful and so happy, like Chamisha Asabav and Yom Kippurim. And it goes on to describe Abnesis Yushalayim Yetzis Bikli Lava, and they were dancing, and the Hasanim chose Kalas, and many Shaduchim were made on this day. And as we know that this was a very big Yontov, like it says in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, Atkadekach, like Hoyu Yom Tevim, it's a very strong Lashon, there were no Yom Tevim that were greater than this Yontov. And after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it was no longer a Yontov in the same way. We know that the Rebbe Kochzach in this day, Chamisha Sabaov, many times Fabrengens, Maimorim, and I think this is much more than we find in previous generations. So, we first talk about Chamisha Sabaov, how it is on the surface, Al Pi Nigla, and then how do we understand Chamisha Sabaov based on what it says in Chassidus and in the Sichus of the Rebbe. So there's actually a number of reasons that are given, and there's probably more than there are those that were mentioned. Some of them that are sort of well known, and these are the ones that the Rebbe spoke about at different Fabrengen throughout the years. One of them is where it says, called by Mesa Midbar. We know that the night that the Meraglim came back and they said that we're not going to make it in Eretz Yisrael, when everybody was crying, v'yivku b'lai l'ahu. So Rachman Aslan, there was a gezeira that all those that are under the age of 60 are not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. And the way it happened was that this day was Tisha B'Av, and every year on this day was a very tragic day. 15,000 people, I think that's the number that's given, died on the day of Tisha B'Av. These were the people who reached the age of 60 and they couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. And they knew that this is going to happen. So every year they would actually dig a grave. At night they would lie down in the grave. And they knew that this was their last night here Ba'al Medein. And this happened every year throughout the 40 years that they were in the Midbar. The last year that they were in the Midbar, they did the same thing. They lie down. They woke up in the morning and they see that they're still alive. Nice surprise. So they came to the conclusion that they probably miscalculated. They thought it was the ninth of Av. It really wasn't the ninth of Av. So they did it again the next night. And again the next night. And again the next night. When were they convinced with absolute certainty that they've already passed Tisha B'Av? And now the fact that they're still alive is the simon that the Eibishter forgave them, and there's no more gzeira. That was on Chamisha Asabav. The only thing that they could have as a absolute certainty that we passed Tisha B'Av is when you see a full moon. So therefore, on that day, Tisha B'Av, Chamisha Asabav became a yontiv. That was the day that they was fulfilled the words of Atamat Veikim Hashem Alekechem Chayim Kulchem Ayayim. They were granted life, and they'll be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. One reason. Another reason was that there was Hutra Shvatim. The Shvatim became permitted to marry, intermarry with each other. As we see in the Chumash, it says that you're not allowed to marry from one Shevet to another, but men and women have to stick to their Shevet. And at a certain date, after the Yidden went into Eretz Yisrael, they settled in Eretz Yisrael, the Chachamim gave the ruling that this, which is written in the Chumash, was only for that generation of the Midbar. But now, all the people from different tribes could intermarry with each other. There are no limitations. So that's another reason for the Simcha. The third reason was with Shevet Binyamin. There was an incident, which is known as Pelegish Begiva, that the people, the men of Shevet Binyamin, did something which was inappropriate. And as a result of that, the Chachamim punished them. And they said that no one should marry anyone from that Shevet. Which obviously means that if that would be the case, then that Shevet would be discontinued because there's no next generation. And on that day, Chamisha Sabah, for whatever reason, they said that this Gezeira, this ban is removed, and now people can marry with Shevet Binyamin. So that's another reason for the Simcha. Another reason which is given is that that was the day that Bitl Hashem ben Ella Malach Yisrael Hashemrim, which means that there was a king, Yeravim ben Nevat. He was the one who was the Malach of the Esasher Sashvatim, and he's the one who made the people do Avodah Zarah. And he was afraid that if the Yidden will go Alil Regel Teretz Yisrael, then to Yerushalayim, then they're going to see the beauty of Malchus Beis David, which was in Yerushalayim. That's where the palace was of the kings. And they might go on that side and go away from Yeravim ben Nevat. So he didn't allow Yidden to do Aliyah LeRegel. And he set up guards and blocks on all the roads so people couldn't go to Yerushalayim. This Melech was the last of the king of the Ten Shvatim. And he was a tzaddik. So he actually changed it, and he took away all those shomrim, everything that's blocking. And he said, now everybody can go to be Eil Regel to Yerushalayim. So that was another reason why it's a yantav. Another reason that's given is Pasku Malichris Eitzin L'Merechas HaMizbeach. That one of the things that happened in the second Beis HaMikdash, when Yidden went back to Eretz Yisrael, they had the Beis HaMikdash, they had the Mizbeach, but they needed wood, firewood, that should be burning on the Mizbeach. And because Eretz Yisrael became totally destroyed, there were no trees, it was very hard to find wood. So people made an effort to go find wood, bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, and it was considered a very big simcha that they could bring the wood, so enabling the Kahanim to put it on the Mizbeach and bring Karbonis. The last date for bringing wood was Chamisha Sabah. And the reason for that is because in order for the wood to be qualified to go on the Mizbeach, had to be wood that had no worms. In fact, there were Kahanim, they would check the wood to make sure that there are no worms. And once we reached Chamisha Sabah, the heat of the sun is not as intense as it was before, and therefore the wood becomes a little bit more moist, that moisture, and as a result of that, there are worms. So after Chamisha Asabah, we don't use that wood. We use the wood only until Chamisha Asabah. So that means that this Aveda, this exciting Aveda, bringing wood for the Beis HaMikdash, for the Mizbeach, was completed on Chamisha Asabah, like a siyum sort of. So they made a yantav because of that reason. Another reason that's given was Beitar, that they were permitted to bury the dead of Beitar. So Beitar was a city that stood up against the Romans, and at one point, finally, the Romans conquered the city, and Rahman Islam, they killed everybody in the city, and it says it was so tragic, it was like the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed once again. And not only that it killed everybody in the city, but the Roman emperor at the time didn't allow them to bury the dead. And all the dead bodies were laying there. It was a disgrace. And this was going on for a number of years. And then there was a new emperor, and he allowed them to bury the dead. And there were two miracles. One was that he allowed them to bury the dead. And the second, that they found that the bodies didn't decompose. So because this day they were given the permission, Chamisha Sabah, to bury the dead, it's another reason why it became a yantav.
How much later was that?
It says a few years. I'm not sure how many years. Definitely years. And then the final reason that's brought down, and as we soon see, the Rebbe's Iker Koch is in this reason. It says that from Chamisha Sabah and on is a time to aid in learning Torah at night. The nights start becoming shorter, longer. The days start becoming shorter. And being that Le'ivra Laila Ella Vegirsa, that the reason for the nights, that's a conducive time to study Torah, So as the nights become longer, you have more time to study Torah. So from this night and on, you're supposed to add in Limud HaTorah. And it says, Man de Mesev Yesu, whoever adds in Limud HaTorah from this night and on, the Eibishter promises him that it'll be aired in his life, will have Arichas Yom HaVishan HaTorahs. These are the reasons that are given. And when you look at this on the surface, it basically appears like this, that these are seven things that I mentioned, seven separate things, positive things, things that are a good reason to rejoice, to make it into a yontif. One doesn't necessarily have a connection to the other, but they all happen to happen on the same day, so they're all reasons why to celebrate on the day of Chamish HaSebaot. As we find, that Chazal say, Megalgalin Schus Liyem Zakai, that good things happen on good days, which means there are certain days that they're conducive for good things to happen. And the same is with the opposite. Like we see with Shivas V'Tammuz, brought down that there were five major tragedies that happened on Shivas V'Tammuz. And Tisha B'Av was the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash. In other words, there are certain days that there's something about this day that it's conducive for something negative to happen. And there are days that are conducive for positive things to happen. And Chamish HaAseh B'Av is one of those days that's conducive for positive things. And here are a number of positive things that happened on the day of Chamish HaAseh B'Av. And the way it's understood is the Pashto's way we from our Pichsidus, we understand what it means. What does it mean a day is conducive? What makes a day more conducive for positive things to happen? Because the way we understand Apichsidus is everything in the world, every object in the world, every existing entity in the world has a source, beruchnis, in the spiritual realm. And that's its source. Like Chazal tells us, Ein loch esev lamata, shein loch mazel lamayla. There's no such thing as even a blade of grass down here that doesn't have a mazel up there, which means a malach, and that is the malach that's the source of the blade of grass and makes it grow. And that malach has a higher source, and that malach has a higher source, which means everything in the world. Someone once said, I never did the research, but apparently a person said that he saw this, that every blade of grass has its own imprint, which is different than any other blade of grass in the world. Just like fingerprints, that's how scientists have discovered the same as with blades of grass, which is consistent with what Chazal say, that every blade of grass, even though it looks so alike, has its own identity, has a different source in Shamayim, in the heavenly realm, and that's where it comes from. And like we say in Davening, the first bracha is a nesim l'sechli dina, l'havchem b'yayim b'vein layla. Hashem, thank you for giving us a rooster that distinguishes between day and night. So it's brought down in Chassidus that the spiritual source of a rooster is Malach Gabriel. And just like a rooster wakes us up in the morning to go daven, Malach Gabriel up there in Gan Eden wakes up the neshamas of Gan Eden. And he tells them that now the time has come that the Eibishter is going to spend time with the Tzaddikim, the Tayil, the Gan Eden. So come and join the Eibishter in his Teal in Gan Eden. So just like the Malach up there does that, the rooster down here does that. And Malach Gabriel has its own source, which is higher, in Gvuras the Bina. And the same thing with everything in the world. It has a source, and the source has a source. There was once a chassid, his name was Rav Leib Hoffman, and he was a big mekubel. And he said, and he explained something about the way things are in the world of Atzilus. And after he finished explaining it, he said, and that's the reason why these are the way things are in the world of Bria, because in Atzilus it's in such a way, so the world of Bria is like this. And then he went on, and that's why in Yetzirah is like that, and that's why in the Asiyah it's like this. And then he concluded, and that's why the ears of the horse are pointing. Every detail of the Gashmizdik object down here comes from a Ruchnizdik place up there. So therefore, if every day is connected to something spiritually, so the days are connected to different spheres, just like with Sfiris HaEmer, we actually say this explicitly, this day is connected to Chesed, Chesed Sheva Chesed, Gevura Sheva Chesed, Gevura Sheva Gevura. Every day of the year is connected to a certain spiritual place, as a certain spiritual koyach and energy, and therefore that makes a difference if the day is connected to something which is sort of excessive chesed. It's a day that's conducive for good things to happen. And if it's a day that's connected to excessive gevura, it's a day that's conducive for other kinds of things to happen. And that's how the Rebbe brings down the famous quote from the Munkacher about Chedesh Av and Chedesh Adam. What does it mean, Mishnichnas Av and Matim B'Simcha? That the Chedesh Av is conducive. The month in general is conducive for unfortunate things to happen. So Mishnichnas Av, Mematim, how do we reduce that? How do we make that less? B'Simcha, by being B'Simcha. Chedesh Adar is a month that the whole month is conducive for good things to happen. Marbin, how do we increase the good things? B'Simcha, through being B'Simcha. So this is the way it would be understood. These are different things, not connected one to another, but because they're all connected to this day, so these good things happen on the same date. But then there's a deeper explanation that the Rebbe brings down in many sikhs and also in Maimorim. And the Rebbe says it's based on a maimer of the Rebbe Nishma Sein, the Rebbe Rashab, Nachamu from Eter, Tofrish Ayin, and brings down there from the Pri Eitz Chaim that the reason why it's such a yontif is because the 15th is a day where there's a full moon. And being that the fact that the moon is not full means that there's a certain pagam, there's a certain defect here, so the moon is not full. And as we know that from the beginning of creation, the fact that the moon became smaller, that's what caused a lot of other negative things to happen spiritually. So when we see a full moon, that's sort of the tikkun for Golos, the tikkun for the negative things, for the defects. And that's why it's such a yontif. So the question is, that's not only Chodesh Av, it's every single month there's a full moon. So the answer is, every single month there's a full moon, but because in Chodesh Av, there's a time of the month which is such a negative time, a down, a yerida, and yerida tzerech aliyah, every yerida, every down is for the purpose of going up higher. So therefore, the aliyah that comes after days like Tisha B'Av and the 9 days, that aliyah is so much greater than the aliyahs in other months. So every month, it's true, on the 15th, we see the aliyah. The moon is shining fully and bright. But in the month of Av, that shine and that brightness is much greater than anything else in every month, even more than Pesach and Sukkot. Pesach is also the 15th of the month. But that's an aliyah that comes after Golos Mitzrayim. The aliyah that comes after Golos that we're in, and the Churban of the first base of English and second base of English, that Yerida is so much greater and the Aliyah is so much greater. And the same is with Sukkot. Sukkot is also the 15th of the month, is the 15th of Tishrei. And it comes after the Yerida, the Chet HaEgel, and we had to do Tshuva. And that's what we celebrate on Sukkot. But nevertheless, it still doesn't come to the Yerida that we had with the Tisha B'Av and the Churbanis of the Beis Hamikdash and so on and so forth. So therefore, the Aliyah is much greater. Like one of the Mishalim that are given, that after Yerida, the Aliyah is so much greater, is the Mashal of a tree. There's actually a story with one of the generals of the Yidden that wanted to get into a city and conquer the city. And he couldn't get into the city because the walls of the city were very high. So they went to a place in the forest, far from the city, and they took a tree, a very tall, high tree, and they brought it down to the ground, and then this general sat down on the tree, and they let go, and as they let go, it sent him flying through the air, and he flew over the wall, and he flew into the city, and eventually that led him to conquer the city. So it's understood that if you bend down the tree a little bit, it doesn't go so high. The more you bend it down, the higher up it goes. So the more the Yerida, the greater is the Aliyah. And therefore the Aliyah that we have on this day, the 15th of Av, which comes after Tisha B'Av, is a much greater Aliyah than any other month. Especially when we think of Tisha B'Av as not only the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and not only the day that Rahman al-Islam, hundreds and thousands of millions of men, women, and children were massacred, plus everything else that happened, but it's really the beginning of the Galus, which means these days contain in them, and they include all the Rahman al-Islam suffering and all the tzaris and all the horrible things that happened throughout the thousands of years of Galus. Therefore, the 15th is the Aliyah. That could be no Aliyah higher than that. To explain this a little bit deeper, what does it say in Siddhis? So the Rebbe brings the Medrash, and the Rebbe always brings this Medrash every year, that the month of Av is compared to a lion, the muzzle is the muzzle of a lion, and Nebuchadnezzar is compared to a lion. So Bo Aryeh, which means the lion, came in the month of the lion, and he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, Ariel, which is also compared to a lion. Almanas, the Rebbe is always medayik in the word almanas, that the purpose is so that ultimately Aryeh will come, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's also called a lion, and he'll come in the same month of the lion, and he will rebuild the lion, which is the third Beis HaMikdash, the Gula Mitzvah Shleim. And the diuk is that it's not only that after the Aliyah, after the Yerida comes an Aliyah, but that the Yerida to begin with, the down and the darkness and the negativity, all that was to begin with for the purpose of reaching a very, very high level, which in this case is the union of Gula Mitzvah Shleim. There are many, many Mishalim and Chassidus to describe this. One of the Mishalim, like the Rebbe brings, is when you take a seed and you put it in the ground externally, and on the outside, what you see is you take a seed and you're putting it in the ground. And in the ground, what happens to it? It falls apart, it gets absorbed into the soil. It basically disappears. That's what it looks like on the outside. But the pnimi is, the kavanah is just the opposite, that from this will grow a tree, which is way, way more than what was there before, a little tiny seed, a huge tree with so much wood and so much branches and so much fruits and seeds that you can grow, bleak wool, more trees and more fruits and so on. So outwardly, it looks like it's destroying something, throwing something away. But in reality, it's really the opposite. And that's the way it is with every Yerida. The Chitzenius, it looks like it's down. But the Pinius, from the start, it's really for the purpose of the Aliyah. And this is basically what we always say about Gamzul Teva. Something happens which is Chas V'Sholem, not a positive thing. On the surface, it looks like it's something negative. Nevertheless, inside is a bracha there. There's a hidden bracha, which means that actually the Eibishter is bringing a certain bracha into the world. But this bracha is being brought in a hidden way. And when the time will come, the Pnimius will become Nizgala, and we'll see openly how this is a bracha. And the principle behind this is that whatever conceals the bracha has to be in proportion to the bracha. Which means if a person loses a penny, lost a penny. No one should have a greater loss than that. Not even that, but that should be nothing greater than that. So there's a hidden bracha in the fact that he lost a penny. But the hidden bracha is probably something along the same lines. And if a person loses something which is worth much more, so therefore the hidden bracha there is also much more. In other words, if the light that's shining is so bright and so brilliant that it's blinding and you have to hide it, so the brighter the light is and the more brilliant the light is, the stronger has to be the concealment to block it. So when you see a concealment that's very strong, that's a siman that the bracha inside and the light inside is very bright. And when you see a concealment that's not so strong, there's also a bracha there, but not the same. So therefore, when we come to a day like Tisha B'Av, being that the concealment is, like we said before, unprecedented, it's something which is more than anything else, the Churbanos of the two Beis HaMikdash, the Mikdashim, and all the tzaras and all the things that happened to men, women, and children then and throughout the thousands of years of Golus, all that is included in this time. So it has to be that in these days, in them, there's a bracha, and that bracha is equivalent, is in proportion to the opposite of the bracha. The only thing that's in proportion to the opposite of this bracha is the Gula Mitzvah Vashlema. That's why it says, Almanas, that in this same month of when Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, that's where the bracha lies for the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. And that explains why when Mashiach will come, Ayom HaMehelu, Yohavchu, Sosan HaSimcha, Ulameidim will become a Yontif, and not only a Yontif, but that always explains it will be a greater Yontif than all the Yom HaTevim, even Yom HaTevim Midaraisa, Pesach, and Shavuos, and Sukkot, how could that be? Because why is it going to be a Yontif? Because then the hidden bracha in these days, that these are the days that contain into the bracha of eternal happiness, eternal goodness spiritually and physically. It's all included in these days. And that's going to be revealed when Mashiach comes. So therefore, this day is going to be a Yontif, and the rejoicing will know no limits because this is eternal. This is forever. Nitzchi is dika good, begashmis. Nitzchi is good, beruchnis. And Nitzchi is dika good on every single level. But we understand also from the Rebbe's Sichas, it doesn't mean that when you look at the moon and you see that it's a full moon, this is symbolic. It's symbolic of the fact that this day is sort of the tikkun for the galus. It's not symbolic. It's much deeper than that. The Rebbe actually explains that it means on Chamisha Aser B'Av, it becomes nizgala. It's actually revealed in the fact that we see a full moon is a manifestation that on this day there's a gilui of the way things will be when Mashiach will come. When Mashiach will come, it'll be revealed in a complete way, that we'll all see this with our eyes of flesh. Now, all we see is a full moon, but this full moon is a manifestation of this gili earth that's going to be revealed when Mashiach comes, is revealed now. And therefore, just like then, there's going to be this yontif that is greater than all the other mimtayim. That's why on the 15th day of Av, it became a yontif, lehayu yomim tayim yisrael, like Chamisha Aser B'Av. This is similar to what I'm sure everyone is familiar with the Sikha of the Rebbe about Shavuos v'Tammuz. That when Shavuos v'Tammuz is a Nitcha, and the same with Shabbos, there's two ways to explain it. One way is that Shavuos v'Tammuz is a reason to mourn, Shabbos is a reason to be with Simcha, and the two clash. So who moves out of the way? Halacha is, Shabbos is the one that overrides Shavuos v'Tammuz, and we don't fast because it's Shabbos. That's the simple way to explain it. The way the Rebbe explains it, no, the same idea, that Shabbos is Me'ein Lasad Lovay. Shabbos is a day that has in it a certain essence of the what's going to be when Mashiach is going to come. It shines on Shabbos in a smaller scale. And therefore, being that when Mashiach comes, Tisha B'Av will be a Yontif, and we'll be eating and drinking and rejoicing and celebrating. So when Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos, we're able to tap in to the way this day will be when Mashiach comes. So we're eating and drinking and rejoicing. And therefore, the simcha is similar to the simcha we're going to have when Mashiach comes. And the same is with Tisha B'Av and the same is with Shavuos v'Tammuz. So on Tisha B'Av it expresses itself. I mean, when it comes out on Tisha B'Av, the fact that we don't say Tachnon, how can it be you don't say Tachnon? Because it's a Yontif. This is a Yontif. Because the Pnimius, it's going to be a Yontif when Mashiach comes. On this day, it's brought down that we say Nachem during Mincha time. Because Nachem is the name of Mashiach, Menachem Shmei. And Mashiach was Neilad on Tisha B'Av Mincha time. And that's the reason why we do Kiddush Levana Mitzray Tisha B'Av, because Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av, and Kiddush Levana is Kabbalah HaMalchus, the Malchus Beis David, David Malach Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim. So basically, the same is with Chamish Shasa B'Av. On this day, comes out from the Rebbe that the Ur, which will be revealed when Mashiach comes, is shining on this day. And as a result of that, in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, they felt it, and they were rejoicing with a simcha like more than any other yontif. Had it manifest in the Mili HaLevana. Based on this, we can explain what is the connection to the Shidduchim. Clearly, this is a day that it says that the women and the men, they found each other, and so many Shidduchim were made. And one of the young Tevim was that the Shvatim were allowed to marry with each other, that they were allowed to marry Shevet Binyamin. Why does it manifest in Shidduchim? This is how it's explained in Chassidus, and especially in the Rebbe's Sifas. That Matan Torah, it says, is the union of the Chasana between the Eibishter and the Yidden. Yain Sim Chosei, Zu Matan Torah. Matan Torah is the Chasana. And the whole connection between Yidden and the Eibishter is compared to a marriage between husband and wife. We know what it says in Tanya, Perek Memvot, that whenever a Yid does a mitzvah and makes the bracha, Asher Kitchono B'mitzvayso B'tzivano, it's like the same idea, like a man who says, Arei Atmo Kedeshet, that he's creating a bond with the Eibishter, like Kedushin. And that's what the purpose of all Torah mitzvahs is, to bond with the Eibishter, like a husband and a wife. But even though it says that Matan Torah was the marriage, but it was one part of the marriage. It says in the Medrash, based on the pasuk Ve'irastich Loch B'Mishpat, and Ve'irastich Loch, there's a few Lashonos there, and the Medrash says that there were two stages. When they went out of Mitzrayim, that was Erusin. And when they received the Torah, that was the Nisuin. Why do you need the two things? Because you can't become one with the Eibishter when you're still holding on to Mitzrayim. So first there has to be one stage, and that is to let go of Mitzrayim, to leave Mitzrayim. That's the Kiddushin. The second stage, which is the complete marriage, is Nisuin, is going to Matan Torah, and that's the Chasna, where we become one with the Eibishter. Like in a marriage between husband and wife, when they did the Kiddushin, which is the ring, and years ago, there was a 12-month space in between. They were considered married, but still didn't live together as husband and wife. And 12 months later was the chuppah and the yichud, and then they were able to be together as husband and wife. That means that going out of Mitzrayim is the Kiddushin stage one, Matan Torah stage two. Like it says by the Korban Pesach, Mishchu Kulchem, Mishchu Yudeichem Avedah Zarah, first, you have to leave, you have to abandon Avodah Zarah, and then you can go into Kulachem, bring a carbon to the Eibishter. There's a famous story with the Rebbe Rashab, it's brought down in the Sikhas of the Friedrich Rebbe, that there was once a time that the Rebbe Rashab was not in Lubavitch, and he was in a different city, it was Purim time. And the Friedrich Rebbe went in to ask in the name of the Chassidim, weren't many Chassidim there, if he would verbrain. And he said no. Then throughout the day, he received a telegram from Lubavitch. And the telegram was a duch, was a report about the Bokhrim in Yeshiva, Temkutmim. And the duch, the report was a very positive one. And the Friedrich Rebbe knew how dear it was to the Rebbe Rashab, the progress of the Bokhrim. So he went in again, and he gave over this duch, and the Rebbe Rashab was very pleased. And when he saw that his matzah was simcha, he said to him, Fabrengen, the Rebbe Rashab taki agreed to Fabrengen. By that Fabrengen, the Rebbe Rashab took a lot of mashke. And one of the things that happened by the Fabrengen was, the Rebbe Rashab said, who wants to go on my wagon? My wagon. What's the wagon? The way he described the wagon was that the wagon is decorated with the brilliant Haskalah concepts of Chassidus, the philosophical concepts of Chassidus, and the wagon is saturated with the sweat and tears of Avodah Chassidus. We know Chassidus has two parts, Haskalah and Avodah. the philosophical part and the Avodah part. So one of the chassidim began to cry, and he obviously also had his mashka, and he said to the Rebbe Rashab, Rebbe, where are the steps to your wagon? So the Rebbe Rashab said, Takya, you have to have steps to get into the wagon. There are four steps. How do you describe it? Two steps to get off the ground, and two steps to get into the wagon. You can't get into the wagon unless you're ready to get off the ground. You can't go in unless you're ready to let go where you were before. So this is the inyan of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. And the Rebbe says, really, every marriage is like that. What does it say about Kiddushin? The Osala Akula Alma Kehegdish. This woman, L'chatchila, is open to marry anyone. The Kiddushin means that now she's disconnected from everyone else. And after that stage can come the next stage where she and the husband become one. Kachenu b'mitzvah secha, and then b'senchol kenu b'serah secha. So on a larger scale, even Matan Torah is considered to Kiddushin, compared to Kiddushin. When Mashiach comes, that's going to be the completion of the marriage. That's going to be the completion of the marriage between Yidden and Eibishter. That'll be the Nisuyin. That'll be the far, the complete Chasen. So therefore, we see the connection that if we say that Tu B'Av is the time that becomes Nizgala, the Yontav, the way it's going to be when Mashiach comes, that's the marriage between the Eibishter and the Yidden. So how does it manifest? That Yidden marry each other, and they're Chasen, and they're Shidduchim, and there are no barriers, and the same is on the larger scale, that there are no longer barriers between the Eibishter and the Yidden, but they all, they could unite in the most complete way. And there are places where the Rebbe says that if you look at the other reasons, they're all connected to Mashiach. Kol Mesa Midbar, what does it mean? That now they were able to go into Eretz Yisrael. Hutra Shvatim Lavei Zebazeh means that there was, besides what we said before about marriage, there was Eretz Yisrael, the reason for Golus was Sin and Schinam, and Hutra Shvatim, that they could come together, the opposite of Sin and Schinam. And the same is with Shevet Binyamin. And Hashem ben Ella, he allowed people to go to the Beis HaMikdash, which is Geula, the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. And then the Beitar is also Abbas Yisrael. A Chesed Shalem is that they were able to do with those people who passed away. And the wood for the Beis HaMikdash with the Tzedakah is right to Abbas Yisrael. So basically it comes out that the main thing of Chamisha Asabav is the Gili of Mashiach. And all the other reasons are Idach Pirushahu. That's how it manifests in these different other good things that happen on that day. There's one thing, though, the Rebbe says is the only thing that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch as a halacha, in Hilchas Talmud Torah, both by the Ramah and the Alter Rebbe, something practical. And the one thing which is brought down as practical is Man the Meisiv Yosef, to add in learning from the night starting Chamisha Asar Va'av. And whoever aids in learning is the Eibishter promises them that he'll be meisiv, he will give them arichas yonim rishon tevis. And the Rebbe actually says, in the later years, the Rebbe started to say, what's a hesofa? Aiding. A few years. Real aiding means forever. Chayim nitzchim. And that again is with Mashiach, then everyone will have chayim nitzchim. So if you look around the rest of the world during this time, their koch right now is shidduchim, to go to different places, in Amukah, Kindavin, and it's a time that's Mesugah B'Shaduchim, a big bracha that Klal Yisrael needs. But by the Rebbe, this is a time where the Rebbe kochzach in the union of Gili of Mashiach, and that we have to do everything we can. And I want to go over briefly one of the sikhs in Tavshim Mem Ches, after the Rebbe speaks about Tu B'Av, what it means, and how it's connected to Mashiach. What does the Rebbe conclude? And the Rebbe says like this, all this is so much more emphasized in our generation. This is the generation where the Nasi Adar made the announcement, La'alto the Tshuva, La'alto the Gula, all the Aved is finished, all we need to do is to polish the buttons, Im Gehochin Kulchem, and being that the Friedrich Rebbe said this so many years ago, so by now, certainly we're holding in that place. This is the opposite of what the Yetzer Hara sometimes comes along and says, so many years passed, so maybe you'll give up. The Rebbe says the opposite. If so many years passed, so now certainly we're holding by that place. So therefore, Now, in a sense, we're like the Chamisha Seba'av era in the Midbar. It was right before they went into Eretz Yisrael. That's where we're holding. So we have to increase our efforts to bring Mashiach, to bring Gula. And not only that, but every one of us should make a cheshbon tzedek and ask himself, what did I do to bring Mashiach? And the Rebbe says a very interesting lashon here. I haven't seen this in other places. But the Rebbe says, especially if a person would stop and think that Mashiach himself is waiting and with anticipation, he can't wait. B'keitz ruach, to take Yidden out of Golus. Basically, he's waiting for me to do what I need to do in order to have him come. So therefore, it's a tremendous responsibility, knowing that Mashiach himself is waiting, and he can't do what he wants to do until I do what I do. But on top of that, also the Gedel HaSchus. Because when Mashiach will come, B'karav Mamash, he's going to say thank you to every single person for everything that they did to hasten the coming of Mashiach. And Mashiach, when he says thank you, it's not just words. It means he will also give every person. Beruchnis will give them gifts. Ruchnis will give gifts. Gashmis will give gifts. That's connected to their, as a reward for what they did in order to bring Mashiach. And of course, the main message of the Rebbe is not just that we should want Mashiach, but it's to publicize Mashiach, to publicize to people that Hine Zeba, La'alto L'tshuva, La'alto L'gula rather, that we're holding right there. And now we have to do everything we can to make it happen. And it's imminent to be mefasim into the world that it's imminent. And one of the things that the Rebbe mentions often is that people are worried. How could you go say this to people out there in the world? They're not going to accept it. It's going to be laughable. They'll ridicule it. You're telling them such ridiculous things that the world is going to change and it's happening soon. And the Rebbe's expression is, was mit der Welt sagen of them? What will the world say? And the Rebbe said this numerous times, don't worry about the world. The world is ready. You just have to go out and say it. Not only that the world is ready, you'll see that the world will actually help you in the Aveda of bringing Mashiach. Help you in the Aveda of hastening the coming of Mashiach. And the Rebbe brought a number of examples that we look at what's happening in the world. And the Rebbe said, we see what's happening in Russia in those days. We saw what was happening with the Persian Gulf War, incredible miracles. We saw Kitzach HaBesim Le'itim, that the nations of the world got together and made a pact to reduce arms and destroy weapons of mass destruction. All this is things that are happening in the world, but they help a Yid see more clearly that Mashiach is coming and that it's coming soon. And that's, to us, something which gives us more strength to do the Aveda, to go out and to publicize that Mashiach is on the way. And even things that happen after those years, there's constantly things that are going on. If a person is sort of tuned in and looks at events that are going on in the world and things that are happening, articles that are written in the newspaper, there's so much there that's clearly pointing and helping us see more clearly that the world is saying to us, we're living in different times. And I want to give another example, something which once an opportunity came to speak about this. Of course, everyone's very excited when the President of the United States said and declared that the United States is moving the embassy to Yerushalayim. He declared that Yerushalayim belongs to the Jewish people. It's very good feeling, very soothing, very exciting to see the support from the President of the United States of America. But there's something much deeper to that. There's a maimer from the Rebbe Rashab. It's a maimer from Tofresh Pei, which means almost 100 years ago. And the maimer begins with the first Rashi in Chumash, that the Eibishter says, really, Rashi said the Torah should have started from a different place. In other words, the Eibishter changed the order of the way the Torah is written. And what did he do? He put the beginning, not a chedesh lelechem, but the creation of the world, Bereishis. Why? Maise yadav higid li'amay. To be able to give the kaych maise of higid li'amay, that if the nations of the world would come to us and say, you're robbers, you stole our land, we can be able to say to them, look, Hashem created the world. He's the one who owns this world. And therefore, he gave it to them, he gave it to us, and it belongs to us. So the reason why the Eibishter changed the Seder and Torah is that the non-Jews should be able to be convinced that, yeah, it's true that the Jews get the land of Israel. So he asks the Maimon, my Ichbus led. Why does it make such a difference? That because of that, the Eibishter should change the Seder and Torah, which is the essence of everything in the whole world. And what he explains is, he brings a number of examples that it's very negaya, that Umas Olam, on their own, should recognize and acknowledge the emes about Torah and about Yidden. Because when that happens, that's the ultimate birur, that's the ultimate elevation of the nations of the world, when they do it willingly. Not that it's taken away from them by war or force, but that they, on their own, recognize that and they accept it. And he explains that these are the deepest hidden nitzutzes that become elevated dafke when they do it willingly. So in a sense, the fact that the Torah, from the beginning of the Torah was given, starts with Bereishis, was there so there'll come a time that the non-Jewish world will say, Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Yidden, like it says in the Torah, God gave it to them. This is the time, we're seeing it with our eyes, that the nations of the world are saying such words, and as we know, the Rebbe always says that America is the leading nation in the world, and therefore what America does affects the whole world, as we see. This is what we see is going on. And another interesting thing that someone brought to my attention just recently, two things. One is, we say that the Welt is helping us see the emes about Mashiach. What's the Welt? The Welt is money, that's the Welt. So someone showed me, recently there was an article written by the money person of the world, which is Bill Gates. And what does he say? He said like this, that right now they're developing what they call artificial intelligence. And it's moving forward. And it's gonna come a time where so much things will be just done by all these, by the technology that's out there. And then he says, everything will be so much taken care of that people will have to look for new pursuits. They'll have to look for more spiritual pursuits because everything else will already be taken care of. Almost the word for word to the Rambam. Madan mitzuyin ka'afar. And therefore, what will people be doing? They'll be busy to lay this Hashem. And there are many other things that we see. Begashmi is how the world is changing. The Rambam says there won't be any hunger, there won't be any poverty. We're living in a world now. Also, someone showed me a report that was given recently, that the United Nations made themselves a goal by a certain year, that by that time they want to bring the world to a place that 50% of poverty in the whole world should change by 50% the poverty in the world. That was the goal. And the report was that they reached that goal 5 years earlier than what they expected. And not only that, they said really there would be no poverty now. The fact that there is poverty is because of political reasons, not because the world doesn't have enough for everybody to the way that things are set up today. In other words, the Gashmi is like a natural, scientific situation of the world is such a way that the things that people would talk about before regarding Mashiach, which sounded like so out of the box and didn't make any sense, now they all make sense in a very Gashmi musical way to help a Yid see more openly how we're getting closer to that time. And therefore, we should increase our avodah of doing everything we can to spread that Hine Zebon Negias Man Gulascha. And to conclude, that the Rebbe says another thing, also mentions it, I think, every single year, that the words Chamishos Ba'ob is Begematria Ksiva V'Chsina Teva, which means that even though it's only the 15th of Av, but from this day on, we're already giving brachas to one another. It's already connected to the new year, giving brachas that everyone should have a ksiva ksima teva. It's also connected to the word aryeh, mazel aryeh. Aryeh is spelled aleph, reish, yud, hey. Aleph is Elul, reish is Rosh Hashanah, yud is Yom Kippur, and hey is Hashanah Rabbah. That means the avodah in this month, and especially starting with Chamisha Asabah, because that's where the Gilui of Mashiach starts being revealed, is leading up to a new year, Ksivach Simitev, Lashonatev, and the Sukkah for everybody, and that'll be a year that we'll be able to see Be'ene Basar even before then, in the Hachana of the year, from Chamishas above, we should already, just from the Achlotas alone, we should be zeichet to have the Zgalus of Melech HaMashiach, leaders out of Golus, take us miyad b'anish.